Take your Bibles tonight. Thank you out there in the patio area. God bless you folks. I appreciate you coming to God's house and in here. And what a beautiful day in Southern California. Flew in this afternoon about 3-something. And just nice and warm. I like that warm weather. And now cool off so beautifully tonight. And I was able to go through the building. Of course, you've heard me say this in the past. I'll say it again. I believe our church buildings are beautiful. But I believe that that auditorium and that property, that building, is the most beautiful in America. It's amazing how God used Brother Bobby and all that worked on. But to me, it's historic, it's old-fashioned, and yuppie. I don't know how he combined both of those things. But it just fits here. And by God's grace, August, we're praying for church's 25th anniversary. I pray it's all finished on the outside and landscaped and all finished on the inside. And someone gives enough money to paint that next building there and this building, all tied all together. And that would be great. And I hope that you understand God's done some wonderful, wonderful things. I know you have guest speakers that, pardon me, come by here. They all probably say the same thing, but we pray and love Brother Esposito. My wife and I pray for him together every day, and generally at nighttime or mealtime or both. And we pray in our office in the morning, and we're asking folks to pray for him and for Miss Mary. What a blessing she is. You know, look, crisis is going to come in your life. But determine you're going to be a Christian when the crisis comes.
That's right. Amen.
And the children, their hearts are broken, but they keep going on because mama's right. Going on. My dad was 90% deaf his entire life and could hear with hearing aids fairly well. But my father, we lost everything in 1959 and 1960. It was not right what happened to him with some business partners, and we had money in the 50s, and then we lost it all. You know, my dad was training us. Parents, you go through adversities so you can train your children. There's no such thing as parenting a child without adversity. And one of the reasons why God allows you adversity is to show your children that God is still able. We are singing Grace tonight.
Yes.
Grace, God's grace. That song just blessed my heart. I needed it tonight. I appreciate this church, not only the Espositos and the children. I appreciate the church. If this church was built on man, it would have crumbled. So don't feel like, well, we maybe should be falling apart. That's not Bible. And I appreciate the church. Your testimony, your faith has been told throughout this whole world. I was talking to my brother-in-law, Pastor Mark Swanson in Illinois. He was a roommate with Brother Esposito. He said, you tell that family we're praying for them. And that's just everywhere I go. And then I hope you thank God and know you do for Brother and Mrs. Myers. I would not have wanted to step into this thing. Of course, he's stepped into it 25 years ago. He's been here since day one. But I appreciate the way he is keeping this thing moving full steam ahead. And that's what we need to do. I hope that we'll remember those things. Thank you for being who you are. And I appreciate you. I want you, if you will, to turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. I must confess that I've asked God very specifically what to preach, and I thought I had it, and I've known for a little while what to preach, and I got on the plane and was reviewing it and everything, and just about a couple hours ago, an hour ago or so, God led me to this passage, and he said, well, just preach this somewhere. I haven't preached from Nehemiah 2 in years, but I feel like God led me here tonight. And I perhaps am preaching to myself. Normally, if God uses a message powerfully, it's because the pastor was preaching to himself. I spoke to myself recently. I preached to my people on the Holy Spirit, but I needed the message. And it was so anointed, and God used it so powerfully, not because I was waxing eloquent, but that I needed it. I spoke recently on prayer. The same thing. People said, that message helped me so much. I tell you why it helped them. It helped me. And tonight, I in my own life, for me tonight, I want to preach to myself. You say, well, if he's not preaching, I can go home. You're not going home. You're standing right here tonight. But I hope that it helped you as it's a help to me. This text that we're about to read, God put it in my life in January of 1981. We were building a building. And during that time, our campaign was Rise Up and Build. And I know you've had tons of messages on that. And most churches build buildings somewhere along the line. In your 25 years, that had to be a theme, or you've used it before, or it was I don't know when. But I'm still going to speak on the subject tonight because I believe God would be praised. It's 7:32. I know you're accustomed to getting out of here. I think I'll try to get you out early. I think it's 10 o'clock. I was told you get out of here. Is it 10 o'clock? You have something to look forward to. My flight is 9 something, and I still got to get to the airport in LAX. So I will probably, Brother Myers gave me permission, leave again after we begin the invitation. And so if you'll allow me to do that, I'd appreciate it tonight. He said, well, we're not going to allow you to do it. I'm going to do it anyway. I'll rebel. And so Nehemiah 2, just so we can stand and stretch one more time, could you stand together with me, please? Chapter 2, verse 17. How about if I read the odd number of verses and you read the even numbered verses? Verse 17, Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how that Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he has spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But then Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, I don't have to wonder tonight if I love these people, because I pray for them every day. How we love Brother Esposito, his sweet family and Mary, and they're constantly in our hearts every day. His church is in our thoughts, in our prayers, Brother Myers and his dear wife. And I pray that in these days, as we are about 4 months away from that dedication, as we're just days away from the various banquets that will be held, I would ask that great things would transpire once again. Lord, you know these people have been after it for so long. Long before the first shovel went in the ground were they praying and going through the city and architectural design and architectural review and all that they have done for these many years now the building. And we're in the home stretch now. Please give the funds that are needed. Please give the prayer warriors. Please give the vision that's needed to not only complete the project, but continue the vision of this great church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you would go back in your mind to chapter 1, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. A cupbearer would taste the drink and the food of the king. And if he did not die, then the king could say, I'll go ahead and eat it. And I'll go ahead and drink what they've served me. He was in captivity. And Hanani, one of the brethren, came. And he informed Nehemiah of the condition of the city. How the gates thereof were burned with fire and the wall was broken down. In chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, Nehemiah, when he heard these words, he wept. He wept. Every day of my life, and today was no exception. And when I get home, I'll still deal with it. My eyes have wept today. Every day. You think the older you get and all the years, I've pastored almost four decades now, the same church. You think it'd get easier, but it doesn't. Especially because we're living in perilous times.
Sure.
And it seems like I spend so much of my time, instead of as God commissioned me to pray and read the Word of God, trying to deal properly with people's sin.
Come on.
And the more people you get and the more ministries you get, the more situations you deal with. And Nehemiah heard the news about his city. He loved Jerusalem. The Bible says he sat down, he wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. Have you ever received news that was so devastating that you sat down immediately? Undoubtedly you have. I can think on a few occasions pastoring my church that literally my knees with the news I received and knew the news I had to deal with, my knees collapsed. And I sat down and I wept and I mourned. It was inside agony. And I fasted and I prayed. When you are faced with a situation that's greater than you, you don't start emailing everybody. You don't start criticizing everybody.
No.
You don't start bailing out on God and walking away from God. When sorrows and disappointments come, we need God all the more.
Come on.
Amen. Nehemiah was given permission to leave his captivity for a short journey. He had to promise, I'll come back. And he went and he looked at the condition of Jerusalem. He came to the people after looking and he said, let us rise up and build. Nehemiah came to the point, he said to the people, there's a great opportunity ahead of us. I like opportunities.
Yes, sir.
In my life, I'm like this church. I'm visionary. Let's build something. If we're not going to build it, let's tear it down. But let's do something.
Amen.
Let's always be doing something.
Amen.
And he said, you see the distress. You see the opportunity that's before you. Come, let us rise up and build. I'll tell you where this church at the last, I've been where you are so many times, at the last leg of the journey, what we need is to recognize there's an opportunity.
Yes.
What kind of opportunities? How about the opportunity of prayer? I like what you said for last night. Did you know that Nehemiah in chapter 1, verse 1, he began to pray in the month of Chelzu? And in chapter 2 and verse 1, he was still praying in the month of Nisan. May I tell you how many months that is? 4 months.
Yes, sir.
You have, by the grace of God, 4 months until you're 25 years of age. If I were a member of this church, I would say, let's take those 4 months and pray. Let's try every type of prayer that God has in the Bible. Some of you could say, I can fast. It might be a meal a day. It may be a Jewish fast from sun up to sundown. It may be a 24-hour fast. It may be a three-day fast. It may be, I don't know what it's going to be, but fasting. And some in this room say, I'm going to carry the opportunity before us tonight in prayer and use the mode of fasting. This kind, those disciples, Mark chapter 8, they could not have the miracle performed, and they could not comprehend it. And they said, what's the problem here? And Jesus said, this kind cometh about by prayer and fasting. Tonight, I don't know how people think they can raise children without fasting from time to time. I would think that, and I don't know everybody's health needs, and perhaps the doctor says you need to eat every 3 or 4 hours, and some folks have that. I know that. Sometimes you have insulin. You better be, I don't know medically, but mother, I would say if you're raising children, take one meal a week and say, instead of eating, I'm going to go to the place of prayer. Some of you have children in school, and mama, you're at home, and I'm not suggesting that's an easy job. You have laundry, and you have ironing, and you have cleaning, and you have grocery shopping, and you have the meals to cook, and you have a laundry, have a house to clean. If you think that, fellas, is an easy job, then why don't you sign up? But mama, do you realize how important it might be at 11 o'clock in the morning? From 11 to 12, one day a week, to steal away to every one of those children's bedrooms when they're not there and say, I'm going to pray for my little boy. And kneel at his bed, and that little boy might be a teenage boy. I go to my daughter's room or my girls' rooms and my boys' rooms, whatever the case might be, and pray. Mama, this country's a mess. But I don't think it's so far gone that a group of mothers that began to pray for their children in America could not see our country come back to God.
Yes, sir.
I still practice fasting for my children, now our grandchildren. I was driving out of town on Monday to go preach near the state capitol. My daughter called me and said, Papa, Reagan has something to say to you. I've been praying every day for her salvation, as my wife has. And little Reagan said, Papa, I just got saved.
There you go.
I said, where are you at right now? She said, I just came to your house to tell Nana you're not here. I said, I'll be right there. I wasn't far out of town, 6 miles or so. I flipped a U-turn, came right back home. She was waiting for me on the doorstep, this pretty little blonde-headed girl. And she came running and says, Papa, I got saved. We have 5 that are saved. We have 3 that are not saved yet. And we have 3 more babies coming in the next 3 months. 12 grandkids.
Amen.
I tell you what, I'm going to fast. Do you know how much of the world, the flesh, the devil is going to be against those kids? Oh, I remember those kids of ours, Tiffany and Timothy and Tabitha, all T's. If we had the 4th, we'd name the child The End. And I think of those little kids when they were just little babies in their cribs or in their little small infant beds. I'd go in there when I couldn't sleep at night and kneel at their bedside, not talk out loud so that I would not wake them, but just kneel at their bed or lay on the floor and pray over their lives and pray that God would do something great in their life. Prayer is so important.
Yes, sir.
There's all different types of prayer in the Bible. There's fasting. There's importunity. You just keep asking and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking, keep asking and keep asking. I think of the prayer of church prayer, Acts chapter 12. On a, is this this Thursday, right? Yes, it's Thursday. I'm so mixed up in my dates. This Thursday. Thursday night you finish church. Yeah, well, you know what would be great is some of you teenagers just 2 by 2 just stay afterwards. No organized prayer, just pray. Some of you dear ladies would pray together. Some of you men, now some of you can't. So you're going to be the fasters here, those that fast, and you're going to be the importunity ones, and you're going to be the ones that pray as a church, and some of you are going to be the ones that pray up on the mountain, and some of you are going to be the ones that pray all night, and some are going to be those that pray in the morning hour, and some of you are going to pray by twos. Friend, I tell you what, if I wanted to get in this auditorium and that door was locked, then I'd try that one. And I'd try that one, I'd try that one. And then I would try, there's a door over here perhaps, and a door there, and a door there, and a door there, and a door there. If I couldn't get through the doors, I'd try that window, and that window, and that window, and that window, that window, and that window, and that window. If I couldn't get in, I'd get through this air-conditioned duct. I'm going to get in this auditorium. That's what four men did when they lowered a man to Jesus. And so that's the fasting door, and that's the by twos door, and that's the church prayer. That's cup, that your prayers be not hindered. That's husbands and wives praying again. A lot of different prayers in the Bible. What an opportunity. I think of this church, the opportunity of prayer. I think of this church, the opportunity of finishing that building. For 35 years, we have always built buildings, bought buildings, remodeled buildings. And we'll still remodel, but I tell you, the last 3 years, we haven't been buying buildings because I feel like the Lord laid upon my heart, get my church debt free. And our church is bought into that. And we are giving every single Sunday to be debt free. And last night again, people gave and to be debt-free. I want to leave the next generation that ministry so they can take it way beyond what this old guy has seen God accomplish and what our people have seen God accomplish. I think of the opportunity of prayer, the opportunity of giving. Now, I don't know how you're going to give. We've been so interested in watching in our church. We've given so many different ways on these programs. And now we just recently, in addition to all that we're trying to do, we had Penny Sunday, over 70,000 pennies, and then Nickel Sunday, and then Dime Sunday, and last week Quarter Sunday, $6,000, $5,600, I think, quarters. And this Sunday is Dollar Sunday, on top of tithes and offerings, on top of what we're giving. And then it's going to be $5 Sunday. And then it'll be $10 Sunday. Then it'll be $20 Sunday. And that leads up to our big anniversary offering. And I have an insert going in the bulletin on May the 18th. It's already finished. It's going in after Mother's Day and talking about stocks and bonds and talking about a second car and talking about an RV and talking about some land that you may not own that's raw land or another house. Why? You say, why? Because we're trying to pay off the other property.
Come on, man.
That's an opportunity. God's given you a great opportunity. But unless there's a miracle, I'm going to tell you something. You're probably next year at this time not going to be building. Opportunities come. There's windows. Oh, you'll build again eventually. When you take over this building over here and all the other things around here, it's going to happen. See, it's not possible to have this property, but it's yours. God gave it to you and trusted to your care. It is not possible to have that building built out there, but God did it. But you're probably not going to be building next year at this time. It's sort of like, remember when a baby came into your life? For us, it was three times. And now I know it comes to us with our grandkids. But that opportunity was such a privilege. I can remember holding our firstborn. All three of our kids were born in their bedrooms at our house. I held that firstborn, 4:30 in the morning. And I said, Tiffany, I love you so much. You're so beautiful. You look like your mother. But Tiffany, I want to tell you something. She was maybe an hour old. I said, honey, I hate to tell you this, but you're a sinner. You're going to need a Savior to save you. I want to tell you from the Bible, for all have sinned. And I went through the Romans road of salvation. And then I bowed my head and said, now, Lord, one day, I pray when Tiffany understands, she gets saved. By the way, Tiffany is not only married, but she's expecting her fifth child. And her kids are getting saved. Such great opportunities. I know where God has me right now in our church and our direction where we're going. I know it's where God wants us right now. But I tell you what, walking through that building this evening, I smell the sheetrock and I smell the wood and I smell metal studs. Oh, I tell you what, I wish I could be building right now. Look at the fact you don't have landscaping. That fires me up. I can't wait to just see that sidewalk going in.
Come on.
And the landscaping going in. And visualizing people on opening Sunday walking up there.
Yeah.
Woo! I tell you, you talk about opportunities.
Yes, sir.
But you know, with opportunities come obstacles. Notice what the Bible says. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn. What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Everything in life always has opposition. There's always opposition. Couples, as they're married, they'll face opposition. Sometimes, though they might be very good Christians, that opposition comes from one another. We don't understand one another all the time. Let me just tell you something. After 41 years of marriage, this is going to be profound. Are you ready? Women, knew I'd get your attention on that one. Women don't think like men. If you're brave enough, give me an amen on that.
Amen.
And ladies, we don't believe in amens in the church, but right now we're going to lift that restriction, and you can say amen. And men don't think like women. Oh, such submission. And sometimes there's opposition and conflict. It's part of marriage. Deal with it. Sometimes with your children, it might be the opposition is mathematics. It might be fractions in what, second grade or third grade, whatever grade that is. It may be phonics. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to attack the school. No, you're not attacking the problem. The school's not the problem. Phonics is the problem. I went home from school, never really got an F in school. In sixth grade, we had spelling. Mrs. Roth was my teacher. I brought home my spelling weekly. We had weekly tests, and Mrs. Roth was my favorite teacher ever, but I got an F. And my mother said, how'd you do in spelling today, Friday? How'd you do? No. What'd you say, son? I said, I didn't do as well as I should have today. Let me see it. Son, you got an F? And I began to make the excuses. I couldn't hear her say those words. Or she doesn't say the words properly. I can't understand them. Or I tried this one. I'm just stupid. You ever tried that one? No, you're smart. Some of us had a hard time. And my mother said, no, Jack. Can't believe she didn't call me sixth grade pastor or something. She said, no, son, Jack, you're not stupid. And it wasn't the teacher's fault. Oh, boy, she always stood on the side of authority, which you should as well. She said, son, I'm afraid you're lazy. But as your mother, she said it all calm. I'm going to help you this week, and you're going to get an A next week. And for the rest of the year, A every Friday.
Come on.
My mother taught me you have to face your opposition.
Come on. Amen.
I wonder what opposition you're facing right now. Is it the loss of a job? Is it the breaking of your health? Is it a marriage that's crumbling? Is it a child that's prodigal? Is it the fact that you don't have enough funds to pay for all the responsibilities in life? Is it that your world's been turned upside down? Facing it doesn't mean you criticize, you attack, you quit, you run. Facing it means you face it.
Amen.
David had a giant. He faced his giant. There's always obstacles in life.
Yes,
deal with your obstacles.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you something about that building, and it is incredible and so close, but it's not possible to finish it right now. That's your obstacle. But God's able.
That's right.
Why would God bring you this far to get neighborhood approval, get city approval, get permits, get it up, get workers, get all? Why would he allow you to get the outside basically done and painted and ready to go for landscaping and sidewalks? Why would God allow this? Okay, I'm shutting it all down now. You're too close.
Yeah.
It's like you played 8 innings of baseball, but you need the 9th inning. Friend, come on. There will be obstacles.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We never had one building that we built that was not filled with obstacles. In addition, on both properties, every building, and we have many of them, every building we built, the city said to every single one of them, can't build it. The main building on the original part, the property, the three-story building over there, the removal of the houses over there, the men's dorm, the women's dorm, the clock tower, the gymnasium, the dining hall facility, the auditorium, the academic building, buy the property. City said no every time, unanimous, no. And they're all there with city approval.
Amen.
Instead of my people running, I can remember when I told them, we're moving in a tent for two years, and we moved into a tent. Not one parking stall. And we grew. That was our obstacle. And looking back, Brother Myers, those are precious memories. You'll never forget. You see, all this crowd here, that crowd out there, you know what you're going to be saying? This is the building we used to meet. There was a pulpit right here, right here. We would open the doors. We'd open the windows. Here's where I sat. Right? I sat out there. We had people over here. We take people in our old auditorium all the time. I have people saying, right there is where I gave my life to serve God. Right there where I was called to preach. Right there, up there is where we still use the baptism. I got baptized. It's a gymnasium now. There's opportunities. There are obstacles. Thirdly, and I'm done. Well, I'm not done, but I'll wrap it up. I see there's an opportunity. Oh, you have them. I envy you. There's opposition, but there's always the omnipotent. Verse 20, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. God is going to do it. We came to a point one time in our church, we were building that building. As we were building that original auditorium, and we were just a small little church, it's not anything like what you're, but it was 32,000 square feet at that time for a small church. I mean, we ran out of money. We had no money left. I raised it and raised it. I knew I was just going to say, fellas, it's just stop the project and we'll gather more and we'll pick it up later. And one of my deacons, who happened to be my uncle, who was the builder, said, now let's not stop this thing. I'd say on Saturday night, we only have $14 left. He said, well, we don't need money till Monday morning. We just kept building. And I came to a Wednesday night. It had been raining that season. We had so much rain, and rain was everywhere, and we had it not sealed up. It was coming in. On Wednesday night, I said, folks, we must raise, and it wasn't much to compare to what you're raising now, but for us, we were drained. I said, I have to have $5,000 tonight just to get it. I think the tar paper or something on. I got met on the wood. I got to get this thing closed up. I said, while your kids are going to school on the inside, because the city let us use one of the buildings on the inside that we were building around it. I said, the rain, I've got big old squeegee. I'm squeegeeing the rainwater out all day long while your kids are learning. I said, we're going to ruin everything. We've got to get this thing watertight. And so I said, we're going to pass the offering plates. And we passed the offering plates. I don't think $100 came in. Well, I was weary. I didn't get mad. I just thought, God, they're broke. I have them just flat broke. I'll never forget that night. I walked out. I was under the eaves. Service was over. People left. There's two deacons, two men, myself. We were under the little bit of an overhang, though it was up high. Water was coming down on us, raining. I stood out there not knowing what to do. There was one lamp, and I saw the rain just pouring down. And a man came by. I don't know who he is to this day. I don't know his name. I don't know if you said, if you're, you want to tell me you're the man, I'd say you must have been, because I don't know what he looked like. And they said, get all the money, get all the what you need. I'll have the money here in the morning. The next morning, I never saw him. Somehow, he came in. I'm not trying to be humorous. It was like an angel that God sent. And somewhere, it just dropped off all the money, thousands and thousands of dollars, and disappeared. Told me he worked for the mafia, but no, he didn't tell me that. I don't know who he was. I don't know who he was, where he showed up from. I've never seen him since. But Brother Charlie, God used him.
Right.
To let me know that God in heaven was still watching this whole thing. I admire this church so much. It's amazing what you've accomplished. It's amazing the adversities you've faced. You've looked at your opportunities. You've looked at your obstacles. But looking unto Jesus, you continue looking to the omnipotent one. He'll see you through. Oh, what a day. I can't come down on that Sunday in August. I certainly wish I could be here. There's something about walking into a new structure like that. There's something about it. Our Father, these are great people.